This is Nigel Uzi for See Beyond My Skin. Last week, Seema Torbo introduced my project to his engineering firm's diversity team at Stratus. They had an amazing and honest conversation about how their race and cultural upbringing affects their lives today. We also talked about the racial divide in this country. I wanted to continue my conversation with Seema and see what he thinks about our future. Seema, thanks for being willing to talk to me again. When we last spoke, we agreed that our country is a mess right now. What do you think needs to happen next?
From my perspective, I think what needs to happen next is that we all need to let our guards down, right? Like, we've all kind of been conditioned into this world of where, I don't want to call it negativity, but I can't find a better word to describe it, but we've kind of been conditioned to this world of negativity where negativity is what sells, right? Pitting people against each other, kind of brewing this tension of black versus white, straight versus non-straight, you name it, you know, the rich versus the poor. And I think until we can learn to really, like, put our guards down and be willing to have a conversation, which isn't easy. And I might have mentioned this at some point during our conversation. It's just, you know, it's hard for me to really tell someone how to feel because I haven't experienced what they've experienced, right? So I don't know how it's really affected them on a personal level. So it'd be kind of ignorant for me to say, hey, you need to get past this. You need to come to the table and be able to have a discussion with a party that maybe you feel has wronged you. Right. And that's the last thing I want to do. I don't want to force people into a situation they don't feel comfortable. So what I think needs to happen next is I think people like me who want to see the change, and I put this on myself, need to be able to be the first ones at that table and set the example of what we want the world to be. Right. So I don't know exactly what that table looks like, but I can kind of do it by giving everyone the benefit of the doubt and giving them a fair shake of them being a good person in life. You know, I try not to generalize as because you fit this demographic, you must be this type of person. Right. And I think, by kind of showing that to people who are in my group, who might be in a group of minorities, and just being able to show them that you have to get past the hurt in order to move on. My hope is that, you know, we can all start to kind of like have these conversations where it's not so much of, well, you did X, Y, and D to me. It's more of, this is what happened. This is how I felt. And if you can acknowledge that this was wrong, then I think we can start to move past it. So I think to sum it all up, it's going to be a combination of those who were hurt having the personal courage or personal strength to be able to come forward and say, hey, this really hurt me, right? And I think the people who have done the hurt, and they maybe not directly, but have been part of the group who's done the hurt, need to be able to say, you know what, I acknowledge that this has hurt you in this type of way, and I'm sorry, how do we move forward? And I feel like until those two parties can really come together and have an honest discussion without feeling as though the other is attacking them unjustly, I believe that will be the first step forward, right? It's just having empathy on a human level and not seeing as always someone trying to knock you off the pedestal or take power position away from you, but someone truly expressing how they feel. And you can see them as human, the people who hurt, and people who have feel pain and feel emotions. I think once we start to view each other as that, everything else will fall into place.
You have to get past the hurt to move on. I actually agree with that. It's not always easy to do it, though. So many times our responses boil down to black and white arguments, literally and figuratively. You see this a lot on social media. How do you think social media affects our outlook?
I think my biggest thing with social media is it doesn't really portray what happens in real life, right? So I think social media has been a great thing. It's been a way that I've been able to keep up with family who may not live in the United States. I keep up with friends from high school who I don't see on a regular basis because we've kind of all moved on to our separate points in lives. So social media does have its benefits, but I believe what social media has turned into is kind of portraying this life, this fallacy of life is perfect, right? You know, everyone's happy. All the pictures are of them doing something that just brings a smile to their face. And what's lost in social media is the fact that at the end of the day, the people behind these pictures are human. They go through real things. So even though they may paste a picture of them in Costa Rica or Mexico or Florida, wherever the case may be, like, that's just what you see in that moment, right? There's 24 hours in a day, there's 7 days in a week, there's 52 weeks in a year, right? What happens about the other X amount of hours, days, minutes that we don't see them posting those pictures, right? Because the picture is only captures a certain moment in time. And we could be capturing those moments where they're happy. But I think social media doesn't really help people realize, like, what happens in those moments where they're not happy, where they're not really expressing themselves, you know, where they're not on to be able to show the part of their lives that they feel comfortable with. And I think social media, not that we need to get off of it, but I think we need to come to the reality of social media only shows one side of the coin. And when we can start to realize that, and when people understand that there's another side of the coin, right? It's not just take what it's on social media as gospel, not to get religious, but, you know, what you see on social media isn't what's on real life. So even though someone may look happy, doesn't mean they always are. Just because someone looks wealthy doesn't mean they were born with it, right? Because someone has a fancy car doesn't mean everything they have in life is perfect. So when we can start to dissociate the two and start to see people as human beings who also have trials and tribulations, to go back to my earlier point, I feel like social media will then help us understand that even though they show us what they want us to see, that there's another side that we should be more empathetic and be more wanting to learn about, right? Because the more we learn about people and the insides of them that don't necessarily come out on a more casual basis, let's say them posting a picture, right? But then maybe at the worst moment, someone that's close to them has passed away, or their dog died, or just having a bad day and they want to share it with the world, right? When we begin to see people as humans on social media who go through the same struggles as we do, and not as people we envy or try to be like or try to keep up with, then I think social media will have more benefits than it does negativity.
That especially makes sense. A lot of people boil down, like, personal success to monetary success. Like, if you have a good job, a house, a car, it means you have to be happy and have everything put together.
Yeah. I think you summed it up perfectly. It's just, we check off these three boxes. Do you look happy? Do you look like you have money? And do you look like you're having the time of your life? If those three things equate, then it's like, what are you crying about, you know? For someone like me, even though I'm not a big social media person, if I was to post on social media, I have a nice car. I live in a fairly nice house, you know. I have a fairly decent job. I work for a good company. You would think everything's great, right? But something you would know about me is I was at one point in my teenage years homeless, right? By no choice of my own. I was kicked out through some crazy extreme conditions, not to get into detail, but, you know, life wasn't always great for me. And I still kind of have, like, residual, I don't want to call them effects, but I have residual, essentially, effects of those, of my life experiences that kind of make me who I am. So, for example, I'm afraid that whatever I have today might be taken away from me, right? So even though I might post a picture of me and my family happy, what the people don't see in that picture is in the back of my mind, I'm always worried about how am I going to keep this going? What happens if the world stops tomorrow, if I lose my job, if X, Y, and Z? So I'm always constantly in this panic mode of where I need to get to the next thing. I need to be able to provide for the next day, right? And I think social media is something that doesn't portray that. Why? Because I'm smiling, I look happy, I'm on vacation, I'm in some country, you know, the sun's shining, I got a great background behind me, and so my life looks great. But what people don't see is that behind that smile and whatever else you want to call it, is like, is a real human being going through real things. Things I don't share personally with people because that's just not who I am. I'm a very closed off person, but they happen, and I feel as though if people knew that about it, do. Maybe they still would, but maybe no. Maybe I would relate to them. You know, maybe there's someone somewhere out there in the world who is going through the same thing that I am, where they feel like if they don't get it today, it's not going to be there tomorrow. And so they're constantly in the survival mode because it's kind of what they grew up on. And I think, you know, the sooner we can start to see it, realize that people have these struggles and empathize with that, the better off we'll be. And so I think I need to do a better job as an individual, you know, showing that side of myself. It's not something I'm comfortable with today.
Wow, that's a lot to think about. Being a homeless teenager must have been rough. Everyone wonders what could happen the next day. Like, everything you could have could be taken away. Sometimes social media only shows really the things that people want to see and not the sides that are more personal.
I'm one of those people who's constantly, I'm in a mode of survival, aka I need to get it, strike while the iron's hot, right? And I think that's something social media doesn't show you. I believe was my point, right? I think social media shows you the good in life, but it doesn't show you what people deal with when they're not on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever platform they use, right? Which is the day-to-day struggle of whatever, if you want to call it baggage, whatever demons they deal with on the inside, you know? And I think if people learn to be empathetic to that and not just take social media at face value of like, this is what I see, so this is what I presume this person to be, right? Then I think we'll all be in a better place, because I think social media only tells half the story. And the other half, until you get to know the person behind social media, you won't fully understand the full picture of who they are. So I think that was ultimately going to be my point.
I'm so glad you shared this story with me. Thanks again, Seema. I hope you will continue to help me with this project.
Of course. Nigel, thanks again for having me on. To reiterate for the 100th time, I really do think what you're doing is cool. And, you know, I think this is something that a lot of people will benefit from. You know, oftentimes when you become an adult, and this isn't something that's put out there a lot, but as you get older, you have a lot of responsibilities, whether that you start to have a family, your career starts to take off. And oftentimes, you know, these are the type of questions that you don't really think about, because you start to compartmentalize things in order to get through the day. And what I appreciate about See Beyond My Skin and just you in general is that you force me to stop and think, right? And you force me to really think about who I am in this world. It's something I don't do often. I think oftentimes it's like very impactful moments in your life, whether it be losing someone or something very close to you, or some very dramatic experience to really make you stop and, I would say, smell flowers or realize where you are in life. Other than that, it's kind of like you go from one day to the next, to the next, to the next. And until I got your email with these thought-provoking questions, it was something that I probably hadn't thought about in maybe 3+ years, you know. I was in a routine and I was in the groove and I was just kind of going. So it gives me hope that individuals as young as you are really starting to have these tough conversations that oftentimes we as adults, me included, try to push to the background because we can't really deal with it at this point in time. You know, sometimes no fault of our own, but my hope is if individuals like you and the next generation are starting to have these tough conversations, that one day we'll be able to get to this proverbial table where we can all kind of put our real selves out there, right? Where we don't have to be what society thinks we need to be, which is a macho man, which is a strong, emotionless person. Like, no, we're all humans. We all have good days and for sure we all have our bad days, me included, right? But if I'm able to go to a place where there's people like you around and I'm able to be like, you know what, Nigel, I'm just having a really bad day because I feel like this country really isn't understanding who I am as a person or what I stand for, or this specific event in our nation's history really upset me. And instead of the reaction being, well, if you don't like it, leave, right? Which automatically puts me on the defense mode. If it's more of a, well, you know what, Tima, I'm sorry you feel that way. How about you tell me why, or what can I do to help? I think the more individuals we have like that in the world, the better off this world would be. And for someone like you at an age relatively young to start these conversations is so impactful. And I'm so grateful for you for that, that I really do hope, honestly, and sincerely hope that this project takes off and it becomes bigger than just what you initially thought, you know, because I think it can help so many people on so many different levels that they themselves don't know yet, that until it becomes relevant to them, they won't really truly understand your impact. And it all started because Nigel had an idea to try to better the world, which my hat's off to you for that.
Thanks for your confidence in me, Seema. It would be my pleasure to sit at any table with you. This is Nigel Uzi, and my interview was with Seema Torbeau for See Beyond My Skin. Stay strong and stay true to your story.